Welcome back to Insights for Health. Our guest today is Dr. Ellie Klein. And Doctor, before the break, we talked about lion's mane and ginkgo and the benefits of that for our brain health. But then there's also another nutrient that you find is very beneficial for brain health.
There's a way to look at brain health as dementia, as Alzheimer's, memory loss, as type 3 diabetes. It is often framed that way. The reason is, I talked about how the brain is heavily reliant on energy. It needs a lot of energy to function properly, and that energy comes from the food we eat, primarily glucose. So what's diabetes? Diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes, the inability of our cells to take in glucose. Well, guess what? The brain needs 120 grams of glucose per day. That's what the medical textbooks teach us, that the average person needs 120 grams of glucose per day to be able to produce the energy it needs to function properly. And so indeed, as I mentioned earlier, in dementia, Alzheimer's, when there is impairment of cognitive function of that nature, it's that not only are the brain cells not able to produce the energy to function properly, it's largely because they're not able to take in that glucose in an efficient way, or if they do take it in, they aren't able to utilize it properly. Now, unlike the muscles and the fat cells, the brain cells don't need insulin to take glucose in. So it's really usually more of an issue of utilization than uptake. The brain cells, once they take glucose in under conditions of cognitive impairment like dementia or Alzheimer's, they aren't able to use it properly. And much of that glucose can turn into lactic acid, which is more of a sort of a waste byproduct. There comes a nutrient, a well-known nutrient, vitamin B1. And vitamin B1 basically is super helpful at making sure that this fuel, this brain fuel, is utilized a lot more efficiently to produce the energy the brain cells need to be able to restore those cognitive and memory functions. Studies on vitamin B1, particularly a unique form of vitamin B1 known as benfotiamine at several hundred milligrams per day, have shown remarkable results at, much like lion's mane, at helping to improve cognitive function, undo cognitive impairment, improve memory, and improve different functions and different score methods that they use in these types of tests to basically improve memory overall.
So simple. I mean, you just add a B vitamin to part of your regimen of a daily supplement and the benefits of that, of a simple nutrient.
Officially, we need only 1 and a bit milligrams of vitamin B1. But then you have areas in the body that are particularly starved for B1 more than others. And the brain, under conditions of, or conditions that manifest themselves as memory loss, certainly is one of these areas. Other areas where vitamin B1 can be super helpful in high amounts can be things like fibromyalgia, certain inflammatory bowel diseases, where there is localized deficiency, extreme localized deficiency of vitamin B1. And then delivering it, particularly in the form of benfotiamine, which is a very effective form. It is absorbed at a much higher rate than regular B1. That particular form seems to be super helpful for these types of conditions.
Six practical steps, or six pillars that we can call up to brain health, that holds up and supports the quality of that brain health. And one of them is nutrition. Can you expound on that, Doctor?
Yes, diet low in processed foods and wholesome natural foods is really important. You know, I don't advocate for extreme diets like ketogenic diets, carnivore diets. Temporarily, they can be helpful for some people in certain conditions. But if someone can just follow a good, natural, wholesome diet where all the different building blocks, all the different macronutrients are available, carbs, fats, proteins in the right amount, the key is to avoid processed foods, really. So fruit like berries, apples, oranges, vegetables, green leafy vegetables rich in magnesium and calcium, other nutrients, and then having fresh cuts of meat, poultry, fish, having some nuts, just a well-balanced diet as a whole.
You mentioned the importance of glucose. Now, it's easy to confuse glucose with sugar. Can you maybe just expound on that a little bit and what's the difference?
Yes, that's really important. So, you know, I said it's really important to avoid processed food. So there's a difference between both a donut and an apple will give you carbohydrates, will give you glucose, but there's a big difference between the two. The donut is highly processed. It's made with industrial seed oils, has other additives in it. The apple is meant to be eaten. It's nature's way to give us wholesomeness, goodness. There's a difference between eating French fries and eating cooked potatoes at home. Again, the French fries are flat with industrial seed oils, basically, which contribute to free radical damage, the sort of thing that we talked about earlier, to increase oxidative stress and would require a lot more antioxidants to deal with the damage of eating those types of foods. It's important not to confuse carbs with highly processed foods.
Now, before the break, we referred to sleep as being an important element for brain health. Can you expand on that a little further?
Well, that's when repair and regeneration happens. So can you imagine a very light, interrupted sleep? It's just going to keep the stress hormones high. And what do stress hormones do? What does cortisol do? It interferes with repair and regeneration. So it's just going to harm the brain cells. And so taking steps to, sleep well. And of course, as we get older, that's an area that a lot of people suffer with. They don't get enough sleep. They don't get enough proper sleep. There's to unpack when it comes to getting proper sleep. You know, we can do a whole episode about this. But having good sleep hygiene, trying to limit screen time before bed, using blue light blocking glasses, to limit the exposure to blue light before sleep. But again, limiting screen time as a whole is better. Making sure that the environment, the room, isn't too hot. It has to be relatively cool. And you know, you can actually also use certain supplements to help, things that you might actually have at the store, like glycine, for example. Glycine powder can be very helpful for that. Collagen, which has a lot of glycine. It's important not to go to bed hungry. So a lot of people would stop eating early. They don't want to overburden themselves. But sometimes when we wake up in the middle of the night, it's either because there was a premature spike in stress hormones. Stress hormones tend to go up at night when we sleep gradually until they peak in the morning. But the other thing that happens is our liver runs out of glycogen. When we sleep, we're reliant on the glycogen stores, on the sugar stores, if you will, in our liver to keep our body happy, to keep our brain happy. That can interrupt a sleep. So having a diet that is rich in healthy carbohydrates and healthy protein, protein also very important for that, is really, really helpful at making the liver happy. That would decrease the interruptions in sleep and the number of times that we wake up. So these are some suggestions that can be considered in order to improve one's sleep quality.
Physical exercise plays an important role for brain health.
Physical exercise. Did you know that a relationship has been established between leg strength, particularly thigh muscle strength, and memory capacity? I would say do your squats. Make it a habit to perform squats. And of course, be active, be mobile. I think the formula is about 150 minutes of brisk activity, walking, cycling, swimming, jogging. When you jog, when you're very active physically, you sweat, and that's an important way to get rid of toxins. So anything that would help you be healthy can be walking, can be cycling, can be participating in yoga classes, Pilates, Tai Chi. For some people, jogging and more strenuous physical activity might be harder, but at the very least, walk for about 30, 60 minutes every day. It doesn't have to be all in one shot. You can take a 10-minute walk one part of the day and then a 15 or 20-minute walk another part of the day. But the more active we are, the better. Here's another interesting tidbit. You know, before we became sedentary, the average person used to take 17,000 steps per day. Now, the goal, most people who are very mindful, cognizant of getting enough steps every day, aim at 10,000, which is still a lot lower than the 17,000 used to be the average before we became sedentary earlier in the earlier part of the 20th century. Moving about as much as possible every day is really important.
Mental stimulation plays an important role in brain health.
Yeah, mental stimulation. You know, don't stop being curious, learning, engaging in things that interest you, and engaging with other people. Social interactions is really, really important. Learning new skills, acquiring new, perhaps, hobbies, learning to play an instrument, solving puzzles, strategy games, and then things that really engage you. And maybe gardening, maybe drawing, things that also give you pleasure. We need to have fun in life. And doing it with other people is really important. As I mentioned, social engagement is such an important piece of life and longevity. I think social engagement is the number one determinant of longevity. People who are isolated, who live alone as they get older, tend to have a shorter life than those who engage with other people and have good, healthy social connections.
And then there's stress management for brain health.
Yes, like I mentioned before,
yep.
Stress hormones, cortisol, there are other stress hormones as well, which, you know, for example, serotonin. You know, people think of serotonin as the happy hormone, but it's a lot more nuanced than that. Too much serotonin can actually be harmful to the brain and contribute to what's called learned helplessness, despair. Management of stress hormones is important because stress hormones they suppress the ability of our cells to regenerate and repair themselves, in essence. So everything we talked about, nutrition, if you eat healthy, you reduce the stress load on your body. If you are physically active and exercise in a balanced way, not in a way that is overly strenuous, because that can also be stressful, but if you do it in a balanced way, that can also mitigate the negative effect of stress. Social connections, healthy, loving social connections can mitigate the negative effect of stress. Getting good sleep can help mitigate the negative effect of stress. And then, you know, there are nutrients that can help mitigate the negative effects of stress. So we talked about lion's mane. And then there are basic things that, you know, are available, again, in your store. Vitamin C has shown to lower stress hormone by 30% when taken at, I think it was 2,000 milligrams. Vitamin D, very important for mitigating the negative effects of stress. So getting enough sunlight, taking some vitamin D in the wintertime if you spend too much time indoors. All these things work hand in hand to reduce the negative effects of stress on the brain.
So, Doctor, we're coming to the end of our show. It's been great having you here. Thank you for all these insights. Would you have any summarizing thoughts for our audience today in regarding brain health?
I think the most important thing to know is that very often, if you notice that you or a loved one is experiencing cognitive impairment, early stage memory loss, there are still ways to mitigate and counteract and improve cognitive function even at that point. I would encourage listeners to act on all the different things that we talked about today in order to improve their and their loved one's quality of life.
Thank you very much for joining us today on Insights for Health.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Health. Our guest today has been Dr. Ellie Klein, naturopathic doctor, author, and supplement formulator. To re-listen to this interview, visit thehealthyhabit.ca, click Interviews, and scroll down to Brain Health. Supplements are an effective way to ensure the brain receives adequate nutrients for cognitive longevity. Combined with exercise, proper sleep, and the other four properties Dr. Klein mentioned. So visit us and ask us about brain supplements, The Healthy Habit, where we help you help yourself with your health.